I'm Shar Banerjee, and this is Books That Built Me. I'm an ex-executive turned to leadership coach specializing in people managers. My job is to get people out of their manager headspace and into their leadership growth space. I typically work with clients to build their leadership DNA and their self-leadership muscles in group programs or one-to-one coaching. But on this show, we're going to dive deep into the stories of other leaders. And it all starts with a book that they believe has fueled their passion, influenced their decisions, and turned book lessons into life lessons. Welcome to Books That Built Me. Today, we're in conversation with Tino Quintero. And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Before we get started today, we're going to be doing a quick debrief on what these four agreements are, and that's available in the front cover of the book. The four agreements very quickly are to be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, and always do your best. However, there is some text that follows each of these agreements, which I would love to review with you guys. The first, be impeccable with your word, is all about speaking with integrity, saying only what you mean, avoiding the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others, using the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. The second agreement of don't take anything personally is all about recognizing that nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. And when you become immune to the opinion and actions of others, you will not be the victim of needless suffering. The third agreement is to not make any assumptions. And the subtext here is to find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want and to communicate with others as clearly as you do as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. The last agreement is to always do your best. And the subtext here is that your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick. And under any circumstance, simply doing your best is going to avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. I'm so glad you can join us for this episode. Here we go.
Yeah. So yeah, I think one of the parts of leadership that is lacking out there is this lack of clarity and simplicity. And I think, you know, Don Miguel does a really beautiful job of telling a message. I mean, you know, if you look at each one of the, you know, agreements, I think what, 4 to 5 words is the maximum. It's very clear and concise what he's trying to share. And I think as leaders, we complicate things so much sometimes, trying to either people please or, you know, be dictatorial about how we want to present this. And, you know, this is what the company needs or whatever it is, you know, the verbiage that we choose, as opposed to really understanding exactly the, you know, what we want someone to do. And again, that applies to our personal life. As, you know, we could talk about, I mean, just asking for something from your partner or from a friend would make life a whole lot easier than, you know, dancing around the statement, right? It would just make our lives so much more fruitful and whole and connective.
Yeah. Yeah. And that simplicity also, I mean, even what you said, there's a part in the book where, you know, they say, well, you should know what I want. Like, you should know how I think. And organizations also do that. Like, people do that. Organizations do that. Like, you should know that this is what it is. You should know that this is important, or you should have acted in this way because this is just so clear. Isn't it clear to you? Because it's really clear to me. And the truth is that it's not clear. It's not clear 95% of the times. It's not clear.
Yeah. He calls it lies. I mean, and they're lies we tell ourselves because we think, I know Shar's pain. Shar knows Tino's pain, right? And that is not necessarily true, right? We don't know where we came from, what you lived, how you lived, what those things go through. So we based our own experiences, and he calls it the indoctrination, but you could call it programming. You could call it whatever you want to. The reality is, and then we become self-centered. We become self-centered. Like, I know what you're going through because I, you know, something version of this, and I automatically turn your comment into my comment and speak for you. And that isn't real conversation. Yeah. That is now back to the assumption of what I think you're going to tell me or how that impacted you. And that's why that clarity in leadership or anything else is so important. You know, I mean, how can we, mm-hmm. and it goes back to my statement earlier, how do you be impeccable with your words? How do you make this really simple for people? You know what I mean? And clarify, like, what do you mean? It's a simple thing, or please tell me more. It's just that essence of allowing people to speak and share that detail, where now I know exactly what Char means by this, or, you know, Tino means by that. And now we could see the disconnect or the gap between our communication. So for us to truly connect,
yeah,
our communication would be beautiful if we could just be in sync and be aligned, right? But that's not fair without it.
Yeah. It's so interesting because when you first read the sentence, be impeccable with your word, it almost sounds like be impeccable with the words that you choose to say out loud. But what I'm hearing from you, Tino, is that if you just looked at the word itself, there's the speaking of the word and then there's a listening for the word. And what you're saying is that the word is not the one that's necessarily spoken, but it's the one that you're saying it's not necessarily the word that is spoken, but it's also the word that you invite to be spoken. So inviting the other to speak and to ask those clarifying questions so that they may also speak their version of truth before the conversation continues, right? Like the word is not necessarily the one that's spoken, but it's just the invitation for words to be understood so that they may be impeccably sort of, they may be impeccably like led with.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And I think the other part that is, what is the intention of the way we want to speak it, right? Because, mm-hmm. and that goes back to leadership too, is it really of service, or is it to hit a bottom line? Is it to do whatever else it is, right? The intention in which we present ourselves and even present the words that we're doing it from, if we come from a position of love, it's generally felt. So the word means something so different, right? Because it gets into your bones, right? Where if I'm just speaking at you, or, you know, logically, and you're not in a logical position, that's not going to be the communication structure that we need, right? And so really understanding, you know, how we want to be impeccable with our intentions and what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. And maybe even just starting there, Char, maybe that's the intention. Is my intention of this conversation is X. You know, you and I had a conversation. We're going to join your podcast. I'd love to hear what you're going to do, right? You gave clear direction of what this is going to look like. It flows. People are more in who they are. And even having a conversation, right? This is a conversation of just sharing ideas, and nobody's taking it personally. So now it becomes even bigger and bolder and more beautiful and full than, you know, hey, I need to state my case, you need to state yours, and we're going to have to agree to disagree, which is what happens so much in business, right? Because
and battle it out. Like, I'm going to fight you, you're going to fight me. Yeah.
Yeah. Or we try to create the win-win, right? Well, why can't we just both win, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a, you know, create one. It exists, but it exists if we were just really communicate from a position of wholeness and, you know, intention and impeccability versus wanting to drive a point home, right? You know, and that happens in our relationships too, right? Like, you don't want to lose. I had a friend yesterday come over, and she said, you know, I think I got into an argument with my partner, and I think I was wrong. and I said, well, you need to tell him, you know, this. And she did. And the ability to realize that it's not about winning, right? It's particularly in relationships, and it could be in business and everything else. If one loses, you both lose, right? Like, this isn't, the relationship loses, right? And I think, you know, when it's a client, when it's a customer, when it's your boss, when it's your colleague, you know, this winning thing is, you know, more about us moving business forward, right? And how do we continue to collaborate? Because this isn't the last time we're going to do business, right? We're going to do it again and again and again, right? And I think we become somewhat short-sighted at times.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fair. So brilliantly put. You should just go tell him. to be more clear.
Yeah. Just hey, own it. You know, I mean, we're so afraid to own it, which is back to, I think, the point you made of freedom, or of, you know, not living in our power, right? Just own it. this is what I meant.
Yeah.
I understand what you interpreted, but this is what I meant. And maybe I didn't communicate it the best I can, but I'm coming back a second time to try. And if we did that more often, what would that look like? What would this world or business or, you know, relationships look like? I just have hope.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. I'm the eternal optimist. I love that.
Of course.
Thank you for that, Tino.
No.
The one thing that I know about you, about this book in particular, is that you have mailed out how many copies of this book to your friends and family now?
So I have gifted this book over 125 times.
Wow.
Fun backstory is that at one point, Amazon would not let me order because I think they felt that I was reselling it or something. So yes, it's quite a bit.
What is it about this book that you feel compelled to share with people?
It made a huge impact for me, first and foremost, of course. But to share it, it's just a very simple book to read. You know, it's a small book. It's not intimidating for people.
Yeah.
The message is pretty clear. It's basically broken up into five sections, an intro, you know, the four agreements themselves. And then, and everybody that I've given it to has always identified with one of them. Right. And the interesting part for me is always to hear what's their backstory, which one resonated the most. And I've heard some really beautiful kind of feedback on all four. Right. And me personally, I would say, each of them has resonated for me at different points in time in my life.
Mm. And so you've sent this book out to more than 125 people, almost got, sounds like, blacklisted from Amazon as a potential reseller. So it sounds like this book has been with you for quite a while. Mm. Oh, man. And you know what? I really love that actually when you open the book, it's not even a secret, right? Like it's in the inside cover.
Yeah, that's right.
Like he just gives it away. Like, it's okay. Yeah. Take it. You don't even need to read the book. Here are the four agreements. Isn't that so funny?
Nice little cliff note. Here you go. These are the four things you need to know.
Yeah. 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 Okay. And so for people who are listening, who've never actually picked up this book, there are four agreements that he talks about, which make your life, which is literally your guide to personal freedom. And the four are be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. That's the one that you were talking about, Tino. Don't make assumptions and always do your best. And so it almost sounds like you have cycled through some of these agreements as you've lived and continue to live. So when it was 15 years ago, it was don't take anything personally. Where are you now? Like, which is your favorite right now?
So right now, be impeccable with your words.
Yeah.
I just feel like words to me at this point in my life matter so much. And even how we define certain words. And really, you know, I want to thank you for the opportunity, first and foremost, just to take a back here, Shar, a second.
Yeah.
For having this opportunity, because I had to read the book again. And
yeah.
I'm in a different place where I've read it at other times and just still really insightful and brought back so many like fond memories, but even just different perspectives, right? Just because I'm in a different place, it meant something different for me. And so, and the first part of the book, you know, he talks about all of the indoctrination that we go through in our lives based on our society, our parents, you know, our fears, our anxieties, you know, how we were punished or rewarded, and et cetera. And the reason I share that, you know, just to give a perspective is that the be impeccable with your words means so much to me because I've defined or redefined the word love for me, not based on what society taught me it was. And so in some ways I was re-indoctrinating myself and didn't even realize that I was using the verbiage of the first part of the book over the last year and a half to redefine certain words because I wanted to be so impeccable with what I was trying to say. And, you know, as a Miami kid, I could always speak, you know, really well and be smooth, but I realized fewer words, being impeccable, just is so much more powerful than, you know, the way that I had done things for so many years.
Yeah. And you talked about love, like you're redefining what love means. What is love to you today?
So today, service. Yeah, just service. It's an act of truly unconditional giving, not want anything in return. You know, where previously the indoctrination, right, to use the book's verbiage, right, was, or the indoctrination was that I was of service, but realizing what I was sacrificing and that I was doing more than I needed to do. And the love starts with taking care of ourselves, right? And being true to ourselves. And I feel that my previous definition meant giving all parts of me away and being able to keep them as a cornerstone of who I am, and then giving love, it's just so much more genuine and authentic and beautiful. And then not feeling empty or lonely, or where now I feel empowered and grateful and connected.
Right. Right. It's like it all stems from within, and that's the power of redefining what it means to you before you say it out loud. Yeah. I actually connected with this agreement a lot in this second round, because I read this book a year ago. And when I read it, it's funny because you sent it out to 125 people. But as soon as I finished it, I sent it to one person. And I remember sharing that story with you. And you said, well, hold on, let me tell you how many times I've sent it out. And it's so funny because this year when I picked it up and I read the Four Agreements again. And by the way, this is so impactful for me that like I'm looking on this side because I have this wall with all the things that I need to look at every single day. And the Four Agreements are on there. You know, like I look at them, I make it purposeful, I make it big. And I just don't want to forget about the importance of the agreements that we have to make with ourselves. And so this year, it's funny because be impeccable with your word really resonates with me too. There's something so beautiful in the way that he defines living life. There's this one part in the book that I triple starred that I keep thinking about actually ever since I reread it is that being alive is the biggest fear that humans have. Like it's not death, which is the biggest fear. It's actually being alive. Like the risk to be alive and the risk to fully express who you are and just being yourself. That truly is the biggest fear of humans. It's not dying and what happens after. It's, are you making the most of today? And what does that mean to you? And that ties in so beautifully with the words that you choose to use. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as you said it, it reminds me of the Marianne Williamson, you know, we're not afraid of, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but we're afraid of our own power, right? And in some ways, not living in our power is this slow death. It's right. Not living. It really isn't, right? We are here to be powerful and beautiful and amazing and magnanimous, and not living in that, you know, not living up to that is our choice, right? Because of fear, you know? And so I think, absolutely, I do agree. I think it's up to us to make those choices, right? To, you know, let's use the last one, always do our best, right? And that is, you know, in our wheelhouse to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there is something, the other thing that I just really resonates with me is the word agreement. I don't know. I just that sat with me, that word agreement, because he could have said beliefs. He could have said values. He could have said so many other words, but he chose to say agreements. And there's a part in the book, I can't remember where, but he talks about how the beliefs that we're born with or the ones that we hold in our childhood are not ones that we choose, but it's the ones that we grow up with. And in adulthood, we kind of dig to them and kind of recognize that they're there. And when we do, we realize, oh, there have been decades that have gone by. And, you know, in not challenging the beliefs, we've agreed to them. Like there is a relationship to the beliefs that we've held. And that relationship is an agreement. Like I agree to believe you. I agree to uphold you. I agree to live by you. And so there's a part of this book that speaks to me so profoundly in that these are agreements that you can have. Like, it's truly like, if you want to be professional about it, there is a contract that you have signed with yourself on the way that you choose to see the world. And his invitation in this book is to say, you can choose to sign a different contract, right? Like, you can choose to write down what it is about your future self that you want to live up to today. And it starts with an agreement that you need to have with yourself. Yeah, what were your thoughts behind, like, the agreement part of it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I loved your verbiage, right? Yeah, the contract. We don't renegotiate those contracts with ourselves, right? We just take what we got from our families or our society or a childhood pain or fear that we don't want to feel, right? So like you said, it takes us decades to realize that we can renegotiate these things, right? These contracts are renegotiable. They're not permanent. And it takes some courage to do that, right? Because these agreements that we've accepted, you know, from our childhood, though maybe painful, are comfortable. We know what that pain is, you know, and going outside of that pain takes some courage to try something new that you know is going to make you better, right? We know our innate divinity tells us that we are built to do more than this. And for so many years, we didn't challenge it. But now all of a sudden, we are strong enough or courageous enough or fed up enough to actually step into that space, right? Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter where you come from, just so long as you take that first step. And I'll even refer that back to, you know, mailing out one book of four agreements is how I started. You can get to 125 and, you know, as long as Amazon doesn't block you. But so it's all it does is take that first step, right? Yeah, you know, and it's, I love the verbiage of stories, right? Because again, we're being impeccable with our words. And I do think these agreements are stories we tell ourselves or assumptions that we make, which ties into number three, right? We tell ourselves our stories that I am Tino and I am a person and I'm a father and I am these, and I play these roles, right? But, and those roles have been defined by so many different things. And I assume that I'm supposed to do or not do or act or how to act. And in reality, the opportunity to, and even Don Miguel in the book says 95% of the things that we realize are lies, right? That we tell ourselves, right? It's not what people are saying to us. It is what we are interpreting and telling ourselves. And then the last one, always do your best. I think the story for me or the feedback that I got out of that was everybody's, well, I always try to do my best. And it's really more about the inner critic. The inner critic, right? The inner critic that just berates you when you don't have a good day, right? When you didn't want to get out of bed and go do your workout and be impeccable with your words. You said, hey, I was going to work out today and do 30 minutes and I only did 20, or I did nothing, right? Or I'm not going to eat that food and I did, or that I'm going to call this client and I didn't because I just wasn't up for it. And I think where we give ourselves grace and know how to do that, I think that's where, you know, always doing our best is still doing our best for ourselves too, both, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, professionally, and et cetera.
Yeah. In fact, he even talks about that because, I mean, a lot of people who are going to be listening to this podcast are probably the ones who live by extremes. Like, I will commit to this version of me that I believe in. And if I can't do what I say I'm going to do, man, I'm just going to kind of stop for a while because I didn't do the thing that I said I was going to do, right? It's like that binary way of thinking. I'm either all in or I'm all out. And so I really love how in the part around always do your best, he gives grace to that space to say, maybe your best is just mediocre today and that's okay. You know, you need to know that that's just the reality of the day, of the moment, and it does not have to translate into the next day or the next moment. And so he calls out this thinking of, you know, how you said, I said I'm going to wake up today and call that client, or I said I'm going to wake up and do my cardio, and I didn't get around to it, you know. And so then that violates the be impeccable with your word, and that violates the always do your best. But then he challenges that to say, this was your best today, right? Like, to make sure that you give yourself that non-judgment of self, or self-abuse, or regret, or, you know, any of that stuff that just keeps you stuck, and keep moving forward.
Yeah, it's the way you were speaking, it becomes that I'm going to do this, and you barrel through it, and you just take on the abuse for yourself, to yourself, or you fight or flight, right? And it's really kind of that simple, right? You're going to armor up, and you're going to get through it, which basically makes you feel awful when you're done anyways, because you're just exhausted, right? And it wasn't authentic. Or you flight and you say no. And then, you know, and honestly, it is about knowing that that day, that was your 80% was 100% today, right?
Yeah.
And being okay with that, right? And it's funny. It's something that I heard from Brené Brown, and it's something that she does with her husband, and my wife and I have started to do it as well. Is if today my best is 50%, I tell her I'm 50%, right? I can only do 50 today. And it's just letting our partners and our friends and everybody just know that today I'm not, right? And not pretending, and being true to myself and being true to her and letting her know, because that is the other part about being impeccable with our words, is that we honestly speak our truth. And, you know, we believe we're supposed to warrior up, you know what I mean, as professionals, or we're supposed to always have an answer and know exactly what to do. And what I'm learning, you know, through life and experiences, is people appreciate the honesty, right? The humility of, hey, I'm not that clear on that one, you know, or that, so on and so forth. Today I'm, you know, not at my best. What do you have? Can you pick me up today? Right. And it just really creates a deeper connection.
Yeah. I know Brené Brown does that with the, I'm 50% today. And the partner's like, okay, I got you. Or if both of y'all are like, well, I'm only 10% today, and I'm only 10% too, let's sit down at the table and have a plan, because we need to get through today.
Or let's just get some pizza and ice cream and go to bed. Yeah. Wake up tomorrow and get better. Right. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. No judgment, right? I love that you said that too, because even, you know, saying being impeccable with your word isn't necessarily upholding the word of yesterday or the week, but it's like upholding the word that is present to you today. Mm-hmm. And speaking about that with the belief that that's okay, and the safety in knowing that whatever you share, you're in the land of unknown as you say that out loud, right? Like, for you to go to your wife and say, I'm only a 50% today, and just trusting in the space, the relationship, the time, the energy, that that's going to be okay, that you will make it work, is also so beautiful to the always doing your best and being impeccable with your word. Yeah.
Agree.
I love this book. This book is just, and you were so right about, like, just how short it is, and just how, mm-hmm. you know, beautifully packed with stories it is. I think the one thing that is so interesting about his book is, you know, you can take away the four agreements, which is be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, always do your best. But it doesn't stick unless you read his words. I don't know if you get that sense, Tino. Like, I read the agreement and I was like, yeah, that's nice. Like, that's a nice thing to live by, sure. But it's in reading the chapter that you really get the buy-in. Like, he is so masterful with the way he dances around what it means, you know, what each agreement means, and how he, I don't know, like, almost like, colors the page with all of these colors. He makes it so vivid what the agreement is. And it's that storyteller. He's a masterful storyteller, isn't he?
He is. No, and by the way, you were masterful in coloring yourself, by the way. It was very, I felt exactly what you said. So true, you know, and he's impeccable within his words as he writes them, right? It's all purposeful. It's very well. And then in the Toltec, I guess, perspective, right? It is storytelling. I mean, we're losing the art of storytelling, right? I think podcast is probably the best scenario now for us to be able to get some of that stuff. Because we're so used to the blips of, you know, social or whatever else it is, but the opportunity to really see the story. And one thing that I think he does masterfully is you could say, you know, be impeccable with your words. Don't take things personally. You know, don't make assumptions and do your best. And, you know, when I first read it, I was like, okay, don't take things personally. But the next one was like, always do my best. Like that was really resonating. Like, always. And I was always doing my best for other people, but what about yourself? And he really always does a masterful job of bringing these things back to you, right? You know, to how you impact your impeccable words, and there's, you know, responsibility in that, right? And how it is us that allows ourselves to take things personally, right? And he just reminds you of the agreement is that you're not going to do this, right? Because you are seeking freedom, as you said before, right? And I think that's what he does so nicely, because if you read it on its surface, to your point, right, it's pretty simple. Like, okay, don't think things personally. I could do that, right? You know, hey, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best. But the depth is really about, no, what are you going to do so you could be free? And
thank you, Tino, for this call out. And I actually had this book on my bookshelf for years. I think somebody gave it to me as a gift, actually. And it sat on my bookshelf, I want to say, for 6 years. And I only picked it up last year because, very similar to you, it wasn't a bookstore. It was my own bookshelf, sure.
Right.
But it kind of called to me. Like there was something about it that I reached for it. And I read it in one sitting. I read it in one sitting and I ordered it instantly for somebody else. So there's something about this book. And it's like when the time is right, the words hit you right in the right spot. And then you talked about depth and freedom. And that's what you really come away with, right? Like you close the book and it's like you feel the sense of purposefulness in every single agreement. You feel a certain depth, and you also see how there is a path to freedom from this deep, very, very, I would almost say like these words are simple. It's so simple. Like everything about this is so simple, but it's intensely complicated in the way that we probably make it. And so how do you go back to simple, I think, is the purpose of this book. It's like, go back to simple, go back to yourself. And that's it for this episode of Books That Built Me. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave us a review. It really does help support what we're doing. Thanks for listening, and you can always find me on my LinkedIn at Char Banerjee. If you're dealing with a leadership challenge, I'd love to hear from you and have you join our community. And of course, I'll talk to you next Tuesday on a brand new episode of Books That Built Me.